My name is Morten, also known here in the community as Morten DK, which has kind of been my nickname or handle for years because my last name is like this long. So you will probably know me as the angry themer who hunts down developers in the Drupal community for doing bad markup and CSS and try to scare them in their sleep to understand the beauty of markup and beauty of CSS, why that is the language of love. Besides that, I've been involved in kind of getting front-end developers more into Drupal, designers into Drupal, and right now I'm also, besides of being in the Drupal Association board and being the chairman of the Danish Association, I'm also one of the founders of Frontend United, which is a two-day front-end-based conference around Drupal. So, which we, by the way, are going to run here for the fourth time, actually under the name Frontend United, only for the second time, in London, the real London, not Croydon, but the real London in late April, which we're really looking forward to, and pretty soon have more info about that. Besides that, I think I'm known as being a loudmouth in the Drupal community and a person who has a tendency to hang out in bars to way too late and talk way too much and have way too much crap to say, which makes me a pretty good community lead with Pedro, who is more of a silent and thinking guy. I used to think about an half an hour after I say something, which is one of my problems. But you know, so that's the short version of me.
Okay, I have a very shorter version than that. My name is Pedro Cambra, PCambra around, and you may know me for my contributions to Drupal Commerce project and the like. And also, if you've been ever to Spain in any of our great events, you will probably have met. Otherwise, I like to organize events, and I was really involved in the Drupal Developers Days that was done in Barcelona last June. And that's it. Now I was selected to be one of the at-large community director for the DA, and that's all me.
Awesome. And this is episode 48 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, he can wiggle his ears, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Morten DK. I'm not going to even try to say your whole name. And Pedro Cambra. Morten is a front-end web developer that has been doing web since the glory days of Netscape 2 and is turning 39 pretty soon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh boy. And Pedro is a Drupal developer focused mostly on e-commerce projects and Drupal events organizer. So, guys, how are you doing?
Well, I'm all good. I've actually broke every rule in the Copenhagen traffic this afternoon to get from my office and down here. So I learned how to drive like a bike messenger. So I'm good. I don't think the traffic is, but I made it.
Pedro, how are you doing?
I'm very fine. I'm on holidays, so I'm really, really relaxed.
Nice. I'm a little afraid to ask this, Morten, but do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
I'm a proud Dane, or more proud dude out of Copenhagen, which makes my whole kind of world seem like Copenhagen is the center of the world. My focus in Drupal and focus for web development for many years have been the front end, and came from a design background, which when I came into Drupal kind of made me, because I knew CSS and markup and have a passion for it, to be seen like a designer in the community. So that's been kind of my focus for a bunch of years, and have been like trying to push for an agenda to change a lot of the markup and how we think it, and getting front-end developers to come into Drupal and actually begin to take some responsibility and take some of the hard burden from you developers, so you can make awesome code that actually works, and we can make site that looks wonderful. That's kind of been my process for it. It's been done in a maybe not so traditional way of going around and ask people nicely. I'm I'm a metal dude, so I know how to be loud and I know how to be clear in my communication. And I figured out that we're pretty good with Drupal people. And apparently my boyish charm have worked because nobody has yet kicked it out of me for being a little loudmouth and trying to get people organized. I have heard that I'm the scarecrow of the development communities that I've been using as the bad boy who comes after them, which I feel kind of like an honor that is actually happening in the issue queue. So I think that's kind of where I'm from, if that answered the question.
All right. Pedro, let's hear a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
I'm mostly a developer backend. I have no idea of all that frontend that Martin always talks about.
It's so easy.
And, I currently live in Barcelona. I'm from North Spain, and I come from a database background when I did the switch to Drupal like 5 years ago.
Awesome. Okay, Morten, I'm going to give you a time limit. You have 30 seconds.
Okay, for what?
How did you get started with Drupal in the first place?
As many others, I did my own CMS system and figured out there's such thing as security box and figured out that, oops, databases and stuff I don't get. So back in 2006, I jumped into Drupal. It was about 4.7. And I actually took a train down to Brussels to figure out how the community worked because I didn't want to develop in a community full of holes. And I met a community that was so dedicated and had the same attitudes and humor towards making development that I liked. And so I've tried to flee ever since because of the markup, and I have not been able to remove myself from the Drupal community. So that's why I'm still here. that's the short version.
Gotcha. Pedro, what about you? How did you get started with Drupal?
It was 2007, and I did a huge career change from being a database administrator to making web. That was really interesting, and I never stopped. I started in a really, really little company, two guys company, and I haven't stopped ever since.
Awesome. All right, one more question before we jump into actually talking about the Drupal Association. I feel like we're almost done with the podcast because Morten's been talking for an hour. what's the most recent project you've been working on?
Getting Twig into Drupal core and getting people moved on that, which is basically changing the whole way we think and do markup.
Awesome. Are you done? Is that it?
Yeah. That was quick. I think I have I can do a sign like this. This is now I'm done.
Cool. Pedro, what have you been working on?
So I was working for the last year in client work, and we just released the website for Cartier.us. And it was a huge project and was a really, really big effort from, I don't know, maybe 40 people, and it was really, really interesting to get involved in that.
Awesome. Okay, before we jump in, anybody who's listening right now, go ahead and send out a tweet using the hashtag MUP048. That's how you can send us your questions. We'll get to those at the end of the show, and go ahead and send a tweet to all your followers right now anyways, just letting them know that this is happening live so that they can join and ask their questions too. Okay, so Paul Johnson is actually the guy that recommended I talk to you guys, and so I emailed him back and asked if he had any specific things I should talk to or questions for you, and he sent back a pretty thorough set of questions. So basically, this podcast brought to you by Paul Johnson and LiveLeakNewMedia.com. So, all right, first we're going to start out by talking about the association in general, and then we're going to kind of talk about you guys and your opinions and views. So I'm going to start with Pedro this time. Can you explain who the Drupal Association are and what they do?
Well, the Drupal Association actually gets, the responsibility is to basically get Drupal.org running and running DrupalCons. That's the basic function of the Drupal Association. And you can see, we are a lot of people involved. There is the board of directors, then there's another board for people that is helping out, and there's the staff as well. And also all the people that actually is a member of Drupal Association that we are always grateful to. And basically, we have goals for bringing the community together and improve the Drupal project forward.
Okay. What's something that the Drupal Association can do to improve the understanding of what they do in general? Anybody can take that one.
Well, this is a great example. making people notice that the Drupal Association is there and what we do is a great example of what we can do. And this podcast is a really, really great help. So thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I think one of the thing I met with Paul this weekend in at the Drupal camp up in Northwest in Manchester, England. That when I'm going to talk about the Drupal Association at my session, it's not everybody who even knows that we're there or what we actually do or why we do it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I hope that we can do here the next year is actually, making sure that people even know that, hey, we actually have an association. It's not just by magic that we have a web server that runs, that we have a DrupalCon that works, that we have a staff that we can actually begin to do, that we actually have some people who try to have an overview of this project. Because, I mean, Drupal is not anymore a little project for 40 people down in the basement. We have, 20,000 plus developers and soon a million users on D.O, which is, every time I think about it, my brain begins to melt a little bit. I mean, I'm up at my first DrupalCon was in Brussels. They had about 150 attendees. The Drupal camp up in England, in the northwest of England, not even London, had 150 attendees. We had a 125 attendees camp in Copenhagen 3 weeks ago, and so forth. So it's kind of, we're growing to a size that's so big. So we kind of need to have somebody to at least have some kind of overview of what's going on. So that's a thing. But it's at the same time, the Drupal Association doesn't have any real effect on the community unless the community also is becomes a part of it. So that's kind of one of the things I think that me and Pedro is keen on doing, hell-bent on doing for the next year, is actually making sure that people knows about this.
Right. And so, from my understanding, the association has nothing to do with the Drupal code or anything that actually goes into the software. It's just the organizations and events and things based around Drupal. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. There is no involvement in direction what the Drupal code should look like. Is more assisting in that the Drupal project is actually there.
Yeah, so people can be pretty sure we're not sitting on a Drupal Association board meeting and voting in what kind of visual big editor we're going to sneak in the next time because we are evil. that's not how it works. We have nothing to do with that. This is actually boring organizational stuff that, well, I think that people like me and Pedro likes that because, look, we can gather a ton of people to do this stuff and we can try to push things a certain way, like getting people to a DrupalCon or helping out with a Drupal event, making sure that we've got video taken from a conference, so forth, so things like that. Making sure that the web servers that D.O is running on is actually running, that there's somebody to pay the power bill. All those kind of boring things, actually, if you're not into that kind of structural work.
Awesome. So you two were both just elected as the newest Drupal Association board members, so congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
But what exactly does being an at-large board member mean?
We actually represent sort of the community into the DA board. Basically, the association board is formed by a number of different background people. So the community needs to be present there as well. So there are company owners, there are people that is not actually involved with the community, with the Drupal community, but is involved with other open source projects. So we are there to make sure that the community voice gets heard.
We're kind of the, I think the idea of having board elected members elected from the community. Thing is that we are all part of the community. I mean, nobody would say that, oh, Dries or Webchick, Jeff or Vesa is not what, oh no, or Donna is, no, they're not a part of the community. Of course, we're a part of the community, but when you when you sit on a board, sometimes there needs to be fresh blood in that can like come with a reality check and say, oh, by the way, this or that is misunderstood out there. It's another thing when you're not on the board that you can actually, you see things another way. And in that way that we kind of, our goal is to be a reality check too and make sure that some kind of communication can go back and forth to the community, even that we all are part of the community. So that's also one of the reasons that we have these elected positions.
Okay. And do you guys get paid to be on the board?
Nope. We get paid by the love and the gratitude from the Drupal community. Isn't that the political right answer?
Yeah.
It's going to be a ton of hard work. It's a ton of reading up on stuff, and it's a ton of thinking about how we can do stuff better. I would say it this way. I kind of feel it's an honor for me to be on a board to represent the thoughts and the ideas that I've been working with and working for, and also me and Pedro has been discussed. So actually just to be able to push a community in a way that I personally think is enough of that for that. So that's, unfortunately, this is not a thing we're going to be rich by. I'm pretty sure we're actually going to lose a ton of money because of all the work on it. But for now, it's just for a year. So that's how the hard truth is.
Right. Okay, so are you guys' board meetings face-to-face?
Oh, well, there are two kinds of meetings. There is one monthly meeting that is open to, that has a part that is open to everyone, and that's virtual. It's a conference call. And then we have four boards meetings that are face-to-face.
Yeah. So, and actually the next monthly, this monthly meeting we have, how you participate in these, actually pretty simple. You grab your phone or your Skype, and you call in on a number that's predefined. So it's kind of a big conference call. So you can actually listen in on the discussions that we have. And to find that, go to associationdrupal.org/about/meet. And on that page, you can actually see what number to call in to listen in on it. And the next board meeting is going to be on the December 12th, where you can actually get an idea of what it is that we talk about. And now we're about this thing about the meetings. We also have meeting minutes from each meeting that you can actually find as well on the association website, which is under about, I think it's governance and then meeting minutes, and it's actually a Google Docs that all the meeting minutes are placed in. So it's not so good organized yet. It's a thing that we've been talking about changing a little bit, so it's going to be easier for people to find. It was a bit hard for me to find it the first time. But the thing is that the association board is very keen on trying to be as transparent as possible. Sometimes one of the reasons that we don't seem as being transparent is, well, we know how Drupal.org is, and with the ton of information we have, some of it is not that good organized, and that's the thing that we have to look into and do better. But the data is actually there. You can actually find it and get an idea of what's happening. So it's not to share it. It's simply some of the stuff is just not that good organized at this point. But it's definitely worth to jump in and listen in on it, especially because, well, we actually want to have some feedback. Know that both me and Pedro, that's why we're here. That's why we're community representative. We're not going to go into a closed shell the next 12 months until we're kicked off the board again and be like, we know nothing. We will not talk with you. We will actually love to talk with as many people as possible of what's going on and spread the word.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone has any questions or any things that they have concerns with and see this guy or me in any event or whatever, just jump in and ask, and we'll be happy to assist to anyone.
Awesome. You guys, on my side, my network slowed down for a bit. I missed a little bit of that. But how often do the board meetings actually happen?
Once a month. And there is also a town hall, that is the day after the DA meetings. So those are mostly open. And basically, that's it. And we have And every DrupalCon there is a meet the DA kind of session or thingy, so that as well.
Okay, cool. So I'm not sure if you actually did this or not, because like I said, my internet slowed down for a minute. But can you explain a little bit about what happens behind the closed doors in a board meeting?
Well, I can try to make. Well, we had the first meeting, which was a 2-day retreat at the Bad Camp up in Berkeley, and basically we sat around a big table and tried to figure out what we want to do for the next 12 months and next 3 years. So, as I see it, it's as many other organizations, you sit down at a table and you're trying to find consensus of what it is that you want to do, and make sure that everybody is on board with whatever is going on. So it's not, I mean, it's not like a big ton of secrets. There's like one reason that we have not gone out yet and say, so this is the 1-year plan, this is the 3-year plan, this is the plan for 2000 and whatever, is that, well, this time, if you look at last year, there's a lot of things that did not get done, probably not going to get done, that was on the list, and we want to make sure that we actually have the funds, that we have the possibility to actually getting these things done. So that's why we are waiting a little bit to put it all out on paper. We need to get a budget finished first. And put it this way, that well, people who knows me and know Petro probably know that we've been kind of fairly critical about how a lot of things have been going on in the Drupal Association. And what actually the thing that shocked me the most by the meeting, I thought a little bit that I was going to go in with an axe and just, you know, getting ready for battle, for a 2-day battle, and what I met instead was actually a whole board that we were pretty much on consensus of everything that we want to do, and I think that maybe it's because of the history of how the Drupal Association have done things, or that we seemed as open source people to have everything kind of government over us. We become a little bit paranoid that there's more or less more or less, we all want to do the same thing. We more or less want to have the same ideas. It's a little bit about priorities. There's a little bit about how the stories, how the Drupal Association have been doing things that, as I see, kind of need to change a little bit, so it doesn't feel like behind closed doors, this is a big sequence. The reason you have a meeting behind closed doors is that you can actually get stuff done. Right. And you're probably going to have a discussion where, well, we didn't even get into a screaming match. I mean, how boring is that? Agreeing on stuff. I mean, that was not the plan. I was hoping that me and Petro, I would have my axe with me, and Petro would bring a sword and would like cut away through the Drupal Association. And 10 minutes in, I'm like, crap, they're agreeing with me. What? That was not the meeting with this.
I'm surprised that that meeting was really, really good and productive, and everyone was in the same page. We were really, really in the same consensus state. So there is something else that happens. There is an executive part in the board meetings that are monthly, but that part is only for discussing contracts with staff and things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
is really not interesting. So
if there's some kind of personal issues where name-given persons are involved in something or some kind of decision need to be taken, that will also be a thing that we will not keep out or we put out in an open meeting. And that's basically how every board, every organization would work. You will not put everything out, but we surely hope to be able to put more out. So that's a thing that I think that people can expect will be happening. I mean, neither me and Petro can keep our mouth shut anyway, so it's probably going to come out.
Okay. Can regular community members get involved in the decisions that the Drupal Association makes?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, they can jump in the meetings and they can suggest things. And also, we have a number of committees going on, like the marketing, another bunch of things, Drupal.org upgrade to D7. That's a lot of work that the people can jump and say and start doing stuff and making decisions on that part. Yeah. So
to take on that ball too is that a lot of the things, these monthly meetings, that's not where stuff really gets decided. That's not where, I mean, if we only had one meeting a month for an hour, nothing would get done. So a lot of this is actually going out outside. That's actually what happens when I go to a camp in Manchester and talk with people about Drupal Association or local association, how we can work together better. All these kinds of ideas had to start from somewhere. And if people are expecting us to come up with everything and make it perfect, I think I have a newscast for them at some point that that's not how it works. So actually, if you want to be involved, I'm not saying that your brilliant idea of making, you know, I don't know, new Drupal stickers. Oh, yeah, that was. If you have ideas, if you have things you think would be good, well, please bring them forward. I mean, begin to work with them, begin to pressure for them. That's how things work in a community like Drupal. If you sit back and wait for something to happen and then begin to moan that the thought you had that you had not told anybody about that did not happen, then we have the problem. So it's, I would actually say that we can try to take a decision about something. If none in the community is interested in that thing, it will probably not happen, or it will fail hard. And in my opinion, that what I'm hoping for is that we can get more people to actually communicate with us and tell us what they want and what they need, and then also be a little bit patient about it, because we know how long time it takes to get anything into Drupal core, right? And that's the same kind of thing getting stuff into Drupal community. It's not just going to change from day to day. Or if it's going to change, somebody needs to put the work in to make sure that everybody is on page. So I would like to say that if people don't get involved with the decisions, nothing is going to get done. So we actually need to get people in on it. And it's not like we're sitting in a, now we ask the community and everybody votes for this or that, but we have a pretty good idea what's going on and what we need. Something we cannot do because we simply don't have the manpower or we have a staff, we have people, but we don't have 400 people to do that work. A lot of it is based on volunteers and people who want to see changes. And so I would actually say that it's highly possible for people to get their opinions in and to try to keep it short. I'm trying.
I can tell.
Okay, so let's move on to some of your opinions and your policies that you know, your opinions, I guess. Where do you think the Drupal Association should focus efforts to help grow Drupal?
That's the reason why I actually jump as a, I present myself as a large community elected member. I think that it's all about community. We should grow from the baseline, so we should really, really put effort in supporting local camps and local meetups and people that is doing actual stuff by their own, and they feel like they have something that they can rely on. That's, I think, the main effort that should be done, and I think we are in the right track for that.
Yeah, of course, we still have the have another big issue still that to make D.O even better. It's in some ways pretty good at this point. It could be way better. So. I mean, that's another one of the focuses that have been on the Drupal Association's mind for a certain time. I think both me and Petros, our main thing is to get the DA to be more supportive of local initiatives all around the world to make people feel more connected to the DA. So it's kind of a build up that we need to do, and that's gonna take some time. We're not gonna be able to fix that in 2 or 3 months. We might have to wait all 6 months, but to get these things into order. It's, for me, it's very much about the little things. So somebody who picks up the phone if you contact them, somebody who can help out, and we begin to know. I mean, we only had half a staff for like what, 8 months, and we actually begin to know who the staff is, how they can help us, how they can help you. If you're sitting in Barcelona and want to do a camp and you've never done a camp before, how do you do it, who to contact, all these kinds of small things. Again, this whole communication lines up. That's one of the big challenges we have right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I guess what are some of the other biggest challenges that exist in a Drupal community that you're trying to approach?
Well, my biggest thing has actually been, and people have probably seen that if you've seen some of my ramblings and writings around that, I get a feeling, or getting actually directly the words, that a lot of places in the Drupal community, there's almost like, not a hatred, but a big distrust towards the Drupal Association, and that's really a thing I want to be able to change. A lot of this is I think, based on false rumors and you know, ideas that we just get in our head. Oh, why have they not done this, done that? They'll never listen, blah, blah, blah thing. So my primary goal this year is actually to change that, and that is to change it with a bunch of actions that we need to take care of, like being better to listen, being better to communicate out, being at some point you know, an organization that doesn't have a relevance to you in your daily community. It's kind of hard to have any kind of relationship to. So that's actually one of the things I really hope that we can change. And we do have a battle plan for that. How well it's going to be executed, we will know in a bunch of months. So that's kind of I want to have the community to love the Drupal Association, because basically the Drupal Association actually loves the Drupal community, and that's why we are even here. Without a community, without all these people around, there will be no Drupal Association. There will be no reason for it. It's not just a place for, as I've heard the rumors, oh, this is just a place for like big business and Acquia and Wundercraft and that size. And that's kind of course, that's the easy way of looking at it. And it's hard to figure out how you can actually help a small camp in the southern part of Minnesota to be better. How we can do that. And that's a thing that requires that we rethink a lot of the things we do. We get better to use our resources. We get better to understand the community needs. And that's a thing that, well, it's on our shoulders from the association side to change that first off. But I'm actually expecting that community members begin to understand that the Drupal Association is not actually an enemy. The Drupal Association actually are a part of what we do. It can seem that way, and then I think that's based upon bad communications and how things have been before, and simply lack of bandwidth. If you're only like 10 people on a board and you have to do everything, it can be quite hard to make sure that everybody knows what goes on all the time. I mean, that's basic human nature. So that's kind of the thing that I want to have the DA to be loved by the Drupal community.
Okay.
Yeah, well, basically, the Drupal community is grows organically, and the DA is there for facilitating, not for interfering to anything. So the plan is to help. I've always been, and everywhere they have their own challenges. I mean, we have the DA 8 freeze code in 5 days, and they're in other places. I mean, if you go local, they have other challenges. So anywhere that we can help, I think we should do. And as I said, that start with camps and feel making the people that is staff feel like they have something out there they can reach for, and we are accountable for that. So I think that's the main help that the DA can do with the community programs.
Okay. So then what are you guys trying to do to make the Drupal Association become a truly globally represented organization?
Well, first of all, we didn't do so much besides of actually just stepping up and being a little bit loud about it. I mean, I guess that I got a ton of to say the hard, a ton of European votes, because people kind of knows me from traveling around all over Europe. And I guess that Pedro got a bunch of Spanish-speaking votes because he cheated and could speak Spanish, and I can't. One of the things that we have been talking about is actually how to make the communication lines way better. It can be very hard for a small group, let's say in Copenhagen, to get the word down from the Drupal Association and back and forth. So this whole communication structure, we need to think in a way that can be better. Right now, everything goes into into somewhere on Drupal.org, that kind of document, kind of wording, oh, we have a DrupalCon, but we're not that good to actually making the communication work, and that's, I think that's one of the key points that we kind of have been missing, that we need to make better. And that's definitely a thing that both me and Pedro have been talking about, and I've talked with a ton of people about in Manchester, and have done all over, where I've been traveling to figure out how are they doing this in other organizations, how do we make sure that we get a communication line that can work both from the Drupal Association and down to local groups, and from local groups all the way up. That's kind of one of the things that we have been, are thinking about very hard, how we can make that better. And that's going to be complicated, to say the least, because we could say, well, we have an idea of how things goes in Europe. I mean, even from Europe, if you go from the north in Copenhagen down to this, not even to the south, but the middle of Barcelona, and you've kind of figured out how different our cultures are there, how we communicate differently. That's going to be, that's very unique for Europe. If we take that same model and put that to the States, I'm pretty sure that will not work. So we need to figure out how we can do that. We need to figure out the same thing in South America. How can we communicate? How can we make sure that when we, if we want to do something in South America from the association side, or the South American needs some help with something, how can we make sure that communication actually works? The same thing when we go to Asia Pacific, it's the same thing. It's kind of easy for us from Europe to the States figuring out, because kind of have done that for so many years, but we are new regions that we need to be able to go into, and that just demands for a whole lot of trial and errors. If there was like one model to do it, we could just copy and paste and get it done, but that's not how it works with humans. So that's going to be a fun thing.
I would like to say that we have a plan, but we are just thinking about it. I mean, it's all about awareness and communication. They have to, the local communities need to know that the DA exists, that the DA can do something for them that is actually useful, and they can communicate with each other. And that will be a really huge step to be more representative organization, like globally. And we also have a very diverse board, actually, and I'm happy about that. We can improve that. It's obviously, but obviously we can do better. But we are working on that, and all that Morten said was just exactly what I'm thinking. I mean, we have a model in Europe. We can try to get people together here, and then start with other regions. We'll see.
Cool. Okay, that's the end of my set of questions that I had. So to everybody who's listening, once again, send in a tweet using the hashtag NUP048, and we'll answer some questions. I got a handful in, so we're going to go through those now, and then we'll get to anyone that come in while we're answering those questions. The first one's from Thomas Svensson, and he says, besides Danish Dynamite and the Spanish Passion, what are you guys doing to? What are you guys bringing to the Drupal Association?
I think I personally bring, and you would probably, I bring, I would try to say this without swearing, I bring a lot of energy and a lot of just getting it done and see what, when people talk about project management, I have my own way of doing it. I have two axes, and I just run forward, and I just cut everything down, and we figure out what's going to happen. And that's kind of my approach to get a lot of things done. I think I bring in an energy right now and a reality check that some people have kind of described me as being dynamite in new projects, because I kind of walk in, I speak my mind, and I say what's on my mind, and then 6 hours later, I figured out I have offended 40 people in the room, and like, oops. And then I need to kind of clear that up. And I think in some ways that the Drupal Association at this point needs to get a little bit of that kick in the ass to kind of change things a little bit. I think that's the thing I bring. And an idea of we can actually change and revolutionize everything here in a year. I have absolutely no reality sense. That was why how we did DrupalCon in Copenhagen a couple of years ago, just saying we're going to do it and we're going to set some high goals, and failure is simply not a possibility. I mean, we owe this to the Drupal community to be more open, to get this internationalization to work. So in my mind, it's not a possibility to fail. It's going to be done. And you have this on tape now, right? So I know what I bring. I also know what Pedro brings, but I think we should let him say it himself.
Yeah, as Martin said, we both bring some freshness that is always needed in a board that has been running for so long, even if we are a young organization, actually. And I also think I have experience with working with events, and I bring a link with the community that we are supposed to do, actually, more than anything else. We are supposed to build this bridge between the DA and the community, and I really think I can help doing that.
Awesome. Let's see, our next one was from Jerry ITT, and he said, "Hey guys, congrats on your appointment to the Drupal Association."
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Stein MB said, "Plus one to have Morten DK as the dev boogeyman." let's see. Christopher Dune said, "Enjoyed Morten's talk at Drupal Camp Northwest, and he's a student at Salford University. How can he get involved?"
Well, I will say that there's a difference between getting involved in Drupal and getting involved in the Drupal Association. If he wants to get involved in Drupal, there are tons of ways he can do it. I mean, if he's a coder, he can help in the issues. There's this Drupal Ladder initiative that is really cool to help in that way. And if he wants to actually get in the Drupal Association, get involved in that, there's, as I said, there's a number of committees out there. Probably will be more interested in code, I don't know. That's I'm interested in, so he can help in a number of things. There are two. There's a lot of work with the D7 upgrade for Drupal.org and so on. So I think there's a ton of work to be done. So no worries, we have work for everyone.
So the thing is that, well, I mean, I came into Drupal 6 years ago to the community and basically felt really connected to the community. And there's always so many different things to do. I mean, it goes from the last 3 months I've been trying to push people towards the Trick project and the whole rewriting of the whole theme system. And that was kind of just a side thing of all the other things. There's local events. The best thing to do is actually to find your local group, and especially if you're up from the Northwest, up in Manchester, it's pretty easy to find the group because there was all the people you were with this weekend. But find your local group, get involved with that group, the weekly meetups, or monthly meetup. If there's not a monthly meetup, well, I know this might sound scary for somebody, well, start a meetup. Even if it's just meeting at a coffee shop or at a bar or at your office and say, by the way, every first Wednesday in the month, we're going to meet up and we're going to talk some Drupal. Do that just to figure it out. It's so much driven by people, this project. It's not, and then you will find things really quick. Jump in on RRC and begin to use that. This is kind of one of the places where we really communicate a lot, and people will begin to like point you the right way. We don't have like a manual. This is how to get involved in Drupal. You get involved with Drupal if you've been on a you're already involved when you ask the question, how can I be more involved? Because that's mm-hmm. kind of the first step to no free time at all the rest of your life for the next mm-hmm. many years, and there's figuring out what you think is fun or good. I mean, I've been involved in the translation project very, very early on, which I am not anymore. All kinds of different things. But basically, try to find your local meetup and jump by whenever you can. Find the local group, jump on IRC, follow your podcast, follow people like me and Pedro. We're pretty good to like shout out everything that happens in our life or around the project. There's a ton of people. Go into the follow the What's it called? The planet, Drupal Planet, which is the RSS feeds from a ton of web blogs, so kind of get an idea of what's going on. That's kind of how you get involved with it. Find all the podcasts and download them to your phone, which actually was one of the reasons that I got stuck so much in Drupal. I had this monthly two to three like podcasts I downloaded each month, and I just had in my iPhone and listened to as I was traveling around, which gave me a really good idea what was going on. That's kind of, I think, it's a good way and show up to events. I mean, that's how it's done.
Yeah, and don't, if you are starting your local group or local meetings, just don't give up. I mean, we have a lot of experience there, and everybody is doing the same thing. And for example, in Barcelona, we did a Drupal and Beers a while ago, a really while ago, and we were three people and having beers. And we have grown a lot since then, and we've done an event with almost 400 people this year. So I think getting involved with your local community, or just drive a little and get in the next towns, the local community, and see how they're doing. So it's very fun.
I mean, it's a ton of fun. Well, 5 years ago, we were basically four dudes in a basement in Copenhagen gathering because we wanted to. Somebody had a need to create a payment gateway for a site, and out of these four people, three of us are still heavily active in the Drupal community in the Danish organization. And I mean, we ended up 2 years ago, basically running DrupalCon in Copenhagen with 1,200 people. I mean, how many times, as an organizer, how many times in your life do you get a chance to do that? That was still one of the hardest work assignments I ever put myself on, but it was so much fun. And it's fascinating to be a part of a community that has this same passion. I mean, you can go anywhere in the world and you meet people who are Drupal people, and they don't have this whole religious, you should use Drupal thing, but it's kind of the same feeling. People will start bitching and moaning over that module they just wrote and how crappy the code is, that kind of, which I figured out that it's kind of strange, we use so much time of writing this stuff and we bitch and moan over the code all the time, especially the stuff yourself wrote. and it just seems like a really, really friendly and fun community to be a part of. And it seems like we have found a really good way also to having a lot of, I mean, we have a lot of big companies making a ton of money, and we have a big community we have a lot of three-hugging hippies, right? And we have an evil capitalist that can actually be in the same room. And I know from other open source communities that they're kind of like, how do you guys get that to work? And I'm really not sure how we get it to work. I think we just have learned very quickly on that we actually need each other. It cannot go without money, and it cannot go without that whole hippie passion making the right thing. So I don't know if it's so unique, but it feels really good to be a part of. And that's kind of a thing that I guess that a lot of that's the reason that we have over 20,000 developers now is because we're not a bunch of assholes. We actually like what we do, and we like to hang out with other people who have the same passion.
Cool. I wanted to jump in real quick. You mentioned podcasts earlier, and I wanted to say the podcasts that I listen to for Drupal stuff are the Drupal Easy podcast and now the Drupalize.me podcast. Both of those are awesome. There's a group of guys on the Drupalize.me and Addison Berry is doing the Drupalize Me podcast now. And there's also a couple others. The Insert Content Here is another little bot podcast. And I can't remember the third. They've got three podcasts now. I don't remember what it was. But those are definitely places you can check out to learn more about Drupal and what's going on and hear from people in the community. Cool. Okay, so SteinMB asked, would you discuss what's the major challenges Drupal Association are facing due to the growth of the Drupal community?
The major challenge when you have when you go from being basically 40 people meeting in Antwerp in a basement to 4,000 people at a conference in the States, is the workload and the bandwidth. That simply there's so much coming in, and there's so much organizational stuff that needs to get done, and there's so many details that need to get fetched out. And we're still a young organization, so mistakes will be made. I think the biggest challenge right now is actually to getting some of these some of the workflows and getting kind of the basic structures right, so it works good with the Drupal community. Getting a structure that makes it easy for people to connect up to the Drupal Association and the Drupal Association easy for them to communicate it out. I think at this point that is one of the crucial factors. We do have also have like upgrades of I mean the whole Drupal.org website. There's a lot of things that we really want to do, but again, we are only that amount of people. We only have that amount of budget, and it's just when things scales up to a certain size, things just get complicated. I mean, it's pretty easy to sit four guys in a room and agreeing upon, you know, moving A to B. When you have 20,000 people with a Git access to get anything done, it can take forever. And you have to find consensus, and you have to figure out how you govern stuff. I think that right now is we've been growing very, very aggressively the last 4 to 5 years. I think right now, at least in my mind, it's important that we take a deep breath and make a lot of these things work, so we can actually build ourselves better. I'm not so much into the whole bigger, more thing, but I'm very much into the quality of it. I want to have the best association, and I want to have the CMS that sucks the less. I want to have those two things, and I want to have them right now. But I know this is a process, and this takes time, and there's going to be a lot of frustration that things doesn't work fast, and that's what happens when you become this amount of people.
Yeah. I mean, the community has scaled hugely, and the association should mirror that somewhere, some ways. I mean, the DrupalCon Barcelona was 400 people, yeah. And the last one, I think, was 1,800 here in Europe. I mean, there's some things that really are different from doing an event for 400 people or for 2,000 or 3,000. And that's the job of the Drupal Association as well. Some people have to be hired to manage that, to take care that this is happening and it's happening properly. And also the Drupal.org has like 20,000 developers now, mm-hmm. And that's not a normal size. I mean, I remember back the days that the Drupal.org was always offline. It was a huge mess back then, like I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And the DA took charge of that, and they upgraded the servers, and the people, the community is paying for that, and the association is making it happen. So that's the two things that the association does mostly now, and that's really, really linked to the growth of the community. I mean, we have to scale because the community scales. There's no other way.
Cool. Yeah. Did you want to say anything else before we move on? No. Okay. Let's see. Jerry ITT asked another question. He said, are there plans for the open board meetings to be held over Google Plus Hangout or something like that so it's more accessible?
I would love.
Sorry. I don't think there's any plans to move to a specific platform. I think that we should do something about that. I agree with that. There is a call now that is very handy because it's quick and you can do it from all over the world for very cheap. But some platform such as Google Plus will be nice. I think we can't do it in Google Plus because we are too many people. But I think we should seek for some other options that are more accessible, as he says.
Yeah.
The problem about doing it with Google Plus, which would be, pretty sweet, so we can actually see who's the members. I mean, that's kind of one of the things when we're talking about you know, making the Drupal Association visible. If we just, I mean, we do have a picture now, a group picture of the whole association board. There's still new people on the board and stuff that needs to be ratified before we release the picture of the of the powers that be. But the problem about Google Plus is it can have 10 persons on unless we make some kind of deal with Google Plus. If somebody else has some kind of thing we could use, I'm pretty sure that we would use it. A lot of this is also just about practical issues that, hey, we found something that actually works. Let's just go with that. And then later on, if something better comes on, we're going to do that. I would love if we could do that kind of thing. But right now, if we could very quickly get a Google Hangout that could have 100 people in, I'm pretty sure we would go with that, because why not? I mean, we're not interested in keeping things secret just for keeping them secret. That would be dumb, and that would actually be counterproductive, and that would be evil. It's about putting as much out there as possible, because without the belief from a community into the Drupal Association, we don't have that. We don't have anything, and that's kind of one of the things. But so the short answer is we would love to, but right now we have a solution that actually works. And you can, right. By the way, you can download it all. And I promise I'm not talking that much on the DA board meetings.
Yeah, that is true.
Where can you download them to listen?
Those are in the next to the meeting minutes. I mean, if you find the meeting minutes in the association, you will find the board.
Let me just post this over in the chat, our little chat actually, so we can actually have that in.
Okay.
We'll have them here. Let me see here. here we go. AssociationDrupal.org/governance/meeting-minutes. In the meeting minutes, we have an access. One of the things is that up on the top of that page, and I know this sounds kind of ridiculous, up on the top of that page, we actually have a link to the Google Docs that you can then go into, and that's a folder that have all our meeting minutes in from the last 2 or 3 years. So you can actually go in and read all these meetings. As I said before, this is not an ideal solution, but the data is actually there. And if somebody really want to help us out changing that, my Twitter account is morten.dk. No, without the DK, sorry, more DK. And we can put you in. The thing is that we're simply lacking up the bandwidth. If people want to come out and help out with some of these things and make them better, I'm pretty sure we can figure out how to do that. Because we want to make them better. But, I mean, me and Pedro is so full up about thinking these big thoughts, how to make everything right. So it's just that some of these things is low-hanging fruit. We know that. But somebody needs to do them. And, I mean, I would rather use my time on a podcast like this talking about these things instead of, you know, going through the whole governance. So the data is there. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to find. We know we can do better. We really wanted to do that, but it cannot be on the shoulders of 12 people on a board to do all that stuff.
Right. So there are 12 people on the board?
Isn't it 12?
I think it's 13 with Samir.
Are we 13 now?
Let me see. That is in the slash about board.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
12. I think 11, 12 is the number. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's see. Your next one's from Thomas Svensson, and he said, the only time you can get Morten quiet is when he takes a sip of the awesome sauce.
Actually, the awesome sauce is not really dead. That was a beer we produced from the conference in Copenhagen. It's kind of become a legend. Yeah, I still have a case of them left. The beer is kind of losing its taste now. we should. So I'm mainly keeping it on as souvenirs. We got a bunch of people hunting me down to actually get a bottle of this legendary thing. I actually think we're the first IT conference who ever got our own beer made for a conference. I'm still having the challenge to every DrupalCon there's coming out there that we are, as from Copenhagen, the center of the world, we are still waiting for somebody to take up the challenge and actually make a new DrupalCon beer. So Portland, I am looking at you. if you have the nuts to step up, and I'm Sydney, I'm also looking at you and say, what up? Come on, you can do it. And figuring out maybe Prague can do it too. We don't think that they have the ability or the awesomeness of doing this for the community. I've been very unpopular now. But let's see if I can get some people in on it. It's been a thing a lot of people have been talking about since. It was a gimmick we did that was it was made out of pure. We got so happy that we got the DrupalCon to Copenhagen that we began to make plans, and suddenly it was like, hey, let's make our own beer. We know this great brewmaster, Mikkel, who's living just around the corner. And then suddenly the idea just became real, and that was not the plan. It just happened. and then suddenly I had my Visa card out, and I had put down around $10,000 out of my own pocket to make a beer. Yeah, it was completely mayhem. I was like, okay, somebody got to do it. And so, yeah, I still have a case of it left. I will. If somebody really want to have one of these bottles, contact me. We have 24 of them left at my office. I don't think they taste of so much anymore, but we still have them as a souvenir from a very fun experience.
Cool. SteinMB said, amazing. A podcast with Morten that we can tag as clean. No swearing?
Nah. I dropped a couple of F-bombs. I'm trying to, like, not dropping as much of them. I figured out that... When I came into the Drupal community, it was a good way of Bob. I'm from Copenhagen, we swear a lot, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah, the recorded version will have no swearing, but if you're listening live, you've got it.
Okay, so I can drop the bombs just as I'm really trying.
Well,
to...
No, I'd appreciate it if you don't, because it means less editing for me.
I'm trying.
Let's see. And then Thomas Svensson said, thanks, Morten and Pedro. Exactly what I wanted to hear. Great to hear your enthusiasm for the task. So, cool.
Thank you so much.
All right. And that's everything I've got. Those are all the questions and comments that came in. So let's move on to the wrap-up. Let's start with Pedro. And I'm going to ask you, is there something that you're really excited about in the Drupal world that you're not working on?
Oh, a ton of things. I mean, I'm not really involved in the core development now. And all that is happening there is really, really amazing. I mean, I think Twig got committed to core in Badcamp live. That was a really good moment. And all the efforts that they are doing for the Whiskey Initiative and the Scotch one, that's very interesting, and everything that is happening around core until feature freeze is really exciting.
Cool. What about you, Morten?
Well, I am more than excited about Twig. It's not so much Twig; it's actually the one of the things I've been pushing for since I came in, which is over 6 years now, has been an understanding and acceptance of the front end as being more than just a place where you dumped some CSS files and dumped some markup and kind of just was pushed to the side. Actually getting an idea from the whole community that this is actually important, and this is where design comes in. This is where we make Drupal beautiful for normal people to look at. So we have a development community who's getting really, really good at making, I mean, all the new stuff that's coming into Drupal, the REST service and so forth, all these things is coming in and making developer lives so much easier. And now, finally, after so many years of pushing, we saw Twig coming in, which forces us all to forces the whole front end community to actually step up and take responsibility for that part of Drupal. And I'm really seeing a shift in the way that the community have been looking at front end and looking at, especially also for front end developers coming in, that even they don't know PHP or Drupal that well, but they know the front end, they really want to help out. And I've totally seen a change in this whole thing especially last 3 months. And I'm still, actually the reason I went up to Manchester this weekend work because I thought that was going to be like the last push before feature freeze. And Dries, he cheated me totally that morning by committing Twig into Drupal Core. I actually was eating breakfast with him that morning. And I thought I have like 20 minutes with Dries over breakfast, And I just hammered on how important it was to get Twig in. And like almost, I think at some point, I'm pretty sure I was pretty annoying to be listening to, just going on and on and on how important this was for this whole community and how we were thinking about this. And then an hour later, I'm standing and actually have a session called The Angry Female. And I was like, all getting fired up about everything that was wrong in the front end. And Dries goes and committed in front of us. And I mean, normally I'm not a dude who cries unless my kid gets born, and I actually had to almost walk away and be like, I am a grown man. I will not shed a tear for 6 years of hard work of changing the way we think of Drupal, and be like, and by the way, you have a session right now, Morten, called Angry Thema, and people I think are expecting you to go nuts. And I was walking around with a smile up to here and be like, so this is wrong with Drupal, but I don't care because we're gonna fix it in Drupal 8. So I mean. It's all about the Twig thing, and I will totally hijack and misuse your podcast to actually get every front end developer we have in the Drupal community to actually step into the to our little IRC room, Drupal-Twig, to actually join in, because this is now we're gonna beginning to work with the templates and how everything is gonna work. And the thing is that the old front end was written, the PHP template was written back in 2004. That's a living time for 8 years. So it's right now that we need to actually take responsibility for our own working place. As Petro says, he could not care less about the markup and CSS. It's just a place, you know, you drop your stuff in, and that's how I feel about the database or that security thing. Who cares about security? Because it looks good, right? And I know the security team will now hunt me down. So that's kind of the thing that I really is happy about. I hear from a lot of developers say, hey, if you guys want to take over that whole front end and you want to make it beautiful and as awesome as you want to and just get that done so we don't have to think about that ever again, we would actually like that. And that was not the words I heard from 3 or 4 years ago. That was more of the, oh, why are you so obsessed about that front end thingy? And I guess now that all the mobile devices and everything, that whole responsive revolution on the web designs has changed all that. So at this moment, I was almost not thinking about dropping out of Drupal, but kind of disappointed the whole project, actually right before DrupalCon in Denver, which is about 6 months ago. And I was getting a little bit tired, a little bit frustrated about everything going the wrong way. And since DrupalCon in Denver, things have totally turned around. And in Munich, it exploded with the amount of people who actually want to come in. We have a ton of really good developers helping us out with this Twig thing. And now it's time to get the front end guys to actually step up and work out with it. I mean, you had an interview with Fabian X, which, by the way, I want to raise a statue of that dude at the next DrupalCon, because the amount of work he has done has been amazing. And he's just a backend developer who doesn't care about beautiful markup and CSS and SMACs and responsive stuff. And I feel kind of so grateful that we need to step up. So I'm actually calling out every front end developer we have to step up. And that's Drupal-Twig, which is our IRC hangout. Or they can contact me and I will take them in their hand and I'll make sure that they get into the issue queue and kick some. Sorry about that. Is it kick some butt? Is that?
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, something, you know. You can do the beep, 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 beep thing. So that's, I'm more than excited about that. I see that as the whole revolution that we're doing right now. It's amazing.
Cool. Yeah, Fabian was just on the last episode, episode 47, talking about Twig. So if anybody's interested, go back and listen to that. Okay, Morten, we'll start with you this time. Where can people find out more about you, the things you're working on, and how can they get a hold of you?
My Twitter account is MortenDK out in one, and it's Morten with an E, and I've made another illustration of that because there's a salt in the States. See, Morten, that's an E, not an O. Apparently in the States there's a salt called Morton, and there's also a steakhouse called Morton, by the way, which I found out, which I hope to get to eat at some place. Morten with an E. DK is my Twitter handle. My website, morten.dk, which still runs Drupal 6, I know, and the site looks like crap, is my website. that's where you can get a direct hold of me. I have a little pet project called the Mothership, which is a base theme that basically rips out all the crap Drupal does and makes it beautiful to work with. So that's the Mothership, which is a theme made for anal markup nerds who want to change everything. Let's put it real. It does not make your site beautiful. It makes your markup beautiful. Yes, and I judge your website by your markup. I'm that kind of dude. People judge me by my spelling. I judge you by your markup.
Cool. And Pager, where can people find out about you and get a hold of you?
Oh, I'm Pete Cambra in all networks, Drupal org. Basically, that's my homepage, actually, and Twitter. And also, I have a personal homepage, which is in Spanish. So if anyone can read that, it's cambrico.net. And also, I'll be on December 15 doing an effort called Devil Contribute. It's a sprint we are doing in Valencia here in Spain, but we will be online. That we are sprinting on Devil project, which I actually maintained for since 1 month ago or something. I'm helping there, and we are going to throw a sprint with the main maintainers. So if anyone wants to join remotely, or if you guys want to fly into Valencia, that would be awesome.
Cool. All right, well, that's the end of the show. Thanks, guys, for coming on and talking with me. I learned a lot. I know there were a lot of people who are going to learn a lot from this. So just thanks for coming on, and thanks for what you do in the community.
Oh, thank you.
I think we're both just grateful that somebody actually voted us in so we got a chance to do all the stuff we want.
Yeah.
So it's actually the other way around. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.